You walk into a party, and if the first thing you're thinking is, what does everybody think about me? That's pride. When you walk into a room, the same room, and you go, who's in pain here that I might be able to help? That's humility. You're not thinking less of yourself. You're thinking of yourself less. And so you admit that it's not about me. Now, here's number four. And this is a really big one. And if you get this, God will use you and bless you in ways you cannot possibly imagine.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, we continue with a series called The Miracle of Mercy. In this series, Rick looks at how the mercy of God touches every aspect of our lives and the lives of those around us. In a few minutes, we're going to let you know how you can get the DVD study kit for this series. It's perfect for your personal Bible study time or your small group. So stay with us and find out how you can get yours. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called God Can Use Anybody.
Now, learning to follow Christ and learning to let Jesus Christ use you in an amazing way is all about motivation. God is far more interested in why you do what you do than what you actually do. There might be 100 things you could do with your life that God would say, fine, that's great. I made you, I shaped you. Any one of those would be fine with me. There might be 100 different things God would say, that would be fine for you to do with your life. What he is interested in is why you do it. God is not interested in your methodology as much as he is interested in your motivation. You can have the right methodology and you do everything right and you're very successful in life, but if you've got the wrong motive, it doesn't count with God. On the other hand, you could really mess up and you do it all wrong and you have so many failures and you have so many mistakes, but you got the right motive. God goes, that's good enough. Why is always more important than what? And when you figure out why you do what you do in life, God will show you how. It's always about motivation. And you got to remember, it's not about me. So I have to continue to ask, why am I doing this? I see this happening all the time in people who become believers, that become followers of Christ, and then they want to get involved in like a ministry of Saddleback Church. And I noticed that when they first start serving as a brand new believer, you're doing it with the right motivation. You're out of gratitude to God. Nobody's telling you to do this. You're not fearful. You're not pressured. It's just, I want to give back. God has saved me. I want to do something with my life. I want my life to count. And I just, in gratitude, I want to serve God. But I see slowly over time, sometimes people who are doing a particular work or service or ministry, all of a sudden the motivation starts changing and all of a sudden I do it for the wrong reasons. I like the approval I get. I like the applause I get. It makes me feel important. And all of a sudden I'm doing it for me. And a lot of times what happens is people who start off as servants end up as celebrities. I see this happen in pastors all the time. You know, I coach pastors. Success is actually not really good for pastors because it can mess with your mind, particularly if you have a lot of success early in your life, in your ministry, in your church. And I see guys who started off genuinely loving God in serving Christ in their church, and they turn from servants into celebrities. And they're not realizing it's not about them. It's not about them. They're doing it for Jesus' sake. Now, Paul is crystal clear. Twice in this passage, he says, I do what I do for Jesus. I do it for Jesus' sake, not for me. And he says, we're just servants for Jesus' sake. Now, down in verse 7, he continues this. And he says, you know, we're just like clay jars. We're just like jars of clay in which this treasure is stored. God puts his power, God puts his love, God puts his mercy inside you. You're just a jar of clay. He puts this treasure in you. He says the real power comes from God and not from us. So he says, you know, our frail bodies are like clay jars. Some of us have big jars, okay? What happens if you drop a clay pot? It breaks, and we're all crackpots. We're all crackpots, we're all broken, we're all flawed, nobody is flawless, nobody's blameless, and we're all a little cracked. And that's okay, because when it is through the cracks that the light can shine out and the glory of God shines out. See, a lot of people think that God wants to use your strengths. Well, he does, but he actually uses your weaknesses even more than your strengths. Because as I just said, when you go out and say, hey, let me tell you what I'm good at. I could tell you all the things I'm good at, all the awards I've won, all the opportunities I've had. And you go, well, goody for you. That doesn't make us feel close. And when people, you share your strengths, people, they resent you, they're jealous of you, they're envious of you, and they blow you off, go, that guy's full of pride, she's full of pride, whatever. On the other hand, when you share your weaknesses and you share the problems you're going through and you share how God shines through your weakness, people go, wow, it draws them close. It pulls them in intimacy. This is why a lot of marriages aren't close. They don't share their weaknesses with you. Hasn't ever got to that stage. God has always used flawed instruments. Every person God has ever used was flawed.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
One of the major themes revealed throughout the Bible is mercy. God's mercy heals broken hearts, reconciles relationships, restores forgotten dreams, and refreshes tired souls. Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Miracle of Mercy Study Kit by Rick Warren, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook. It's perfect for your solo or small group study time and is sure to be the cure for every insecurity, worry, and fear in your life. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Our frail bodies are like clay jars. Some of us have big jars, okay? What happens if you drop a clay pot? It breaks. And we're all crackpots. We're all crackpots. We're all broken. We're all flawed. Nobody is flawless. Nobody's blameless. And we're all a little cracked. And that's okay, because when it is through the cracks that the light can shine out and the glory of God shines out. See, a lot of people think that God wants to use your strengths. Well, he does, but he actually uses your weaknesses even more than your strengths. Because as I just said, when you go out and say, hey, let me tell you what I'm good at. I could tell you all the things I'm good at, all the awards I've won, all the opportunities I've had, and you go, well, goody for you. That doesn't make us feel close. And when people, you share your strengths, people, they resent you, they're jealous of you, they're envious of you, and they blow you off, go, that guy's full of pride, she's full of pride, whatever. On the other hand, when you share your weaknesses and you share the problems you're going through and you share how God shines through your weakness, people go, wow, it draws them close. It pulls them in intimacy. This is why a lot of marriages aren't close. They don't share their weaknesses with you. Hasn't ever got to that stage. God has always used flawed instruments. Every person God has ever used was flawed, except Jesus Christ, because obviously he was the Son of God. I'd have to admit, looking back over my life, that I've gone through 4 stages in dealing with my own weaknesses. When I was a young man, I actually just denied my weaknesses. I was so afraid of my own weaknesses, I wouldn't even admit them to myself, much less anybody else. And sadly, you can find people who are 30, 40, 50 years old who can't admit their weaknesses. And they never apologize for anything, and they won't admit when they're wrong, and they can't admit their weakness. And anytime you find somebody who can't admit a weakness, you know this, they're extremely insecure. The more secure you are in God's mercy, the more secure you are in God's love, the more open and honest you will be about your weaknesses. The more insecure, when you don't feel God's mercy and you don't feel God's love, the more you're going to deny your weaknesses. And I did that as a young man. I denied my weaknesses. I wouldn't even admit it to myself. Later, they just got so big, I couldn't deny them anymore. And so I moved to phase two, in which I just hid them. I knew them, I knew my weaknesses, but I didn't want anybody else to see them. So I hid my weaknesses, and that always makes more stress, and it can give you fear and panic and all kinds of things when you're hiding your weaknesses. And then I finally moved, and this was decades ago, where I actually accepted my weaknesses. And I said, okay, this is part of the package. You are a bundle of both strengths and weaknesses, and so am I. You have some great strengths in your life, but you also have some major weaknesses. They do not cancel out each other. Both are true. I have some great strengths in my life, but I also have some great weaknesses in my life. And God gives us these both so that we don't get too prideful and think we don't need God and think we don't need other people. But I finally accepted them. And then a couple decades ago, I actually started glorying in my weakness. I go, hey, look at my weaknesses. God is using me. I am a trophy of God's mercy. I am a trophy of God's grace. I don't deserve to be the pastor of Saddleback Church. I didn't deserve to write Purpose Driven Life. I don't deserve all these places I've been invited to speak all around the world and meet with famous people, things like that. None of that. It's all just God's mercy in spite of my weaknesses. And when you do that, then God can use you. And you realize it's not about you. You see, humility is not denying your strengths. Humility is being honest about your weaknesses. God only uses humble people. God does not use prideful people. But pride is not going out and saying, well, I'm just not good at this, when you really are. No, that's fake pride. That's false pride. That's actually, false humility. That's actually pride. A false humility says, I'm not really good at this, when you really are and you know you are good at it. It's okay to say, hey, I'm good at this. There's some things in your life you're good at, and it's okay to admit it. I'm good at this, but it's the mercy of God that made me good at this. I didn't ask for my talents. It's just what God gave me. So thank God, I'm good at this. But then at the same time, you go, but I'm not good at this or this or this. That's true humility, not putting yourself down. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. All of a sudden, the focus is not on you. You focus on everybody else. I've told you this before. You walk into a party, and if the first thing you're thinking is, what does everybody think about me? That's pride. When you walk into a room, the same room, and you go, what do these people need that I might be able to give them? Who's in pain here that I might be able to help? That's humility. You're not thinking less of yourself, you're thinking of yourself less. And so you admit that it's not about me. Now here's number four. And this is a really big one. And if you get this, God will use you and bless you in ways you cannot possibly imagine. Paul talks about this in the next passage, and it is this: use my pain to help others. This is a secret of being used by God. Use my pain to help others. If you do this, God will bless you in ways you cannot possibly imagine. Use the things you're ashamed of. Use the things that have hurt you the most. Use the things that have been problems in your life in order to help other people going through those same things. Use my pain to help others. Now, Paul went through enormous pain in his life, which was why Paul could be used by God in enormous ways. Look up here on the screen. Later in the same book, 2 Corinthians, he says this. He's given his testimony about pain. He says, I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again in my ministry. In other words, the work that God has me doing. He says, 5 times I've received 39 lashes. Now, think about how many scars were on the back of Paul. 5 times 39. That's how many stripes, how many scars he had on his back. 5 times I received 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned, and it's not the kind of stone you're thinking of. He says, 3 times I was shipwrecked out in the Mediterranean, sea. Not once, not twice, 3 times I was shipwrecked. He said, I spent a night and a day in the open sea, one day just holding on to driftwood after one of those shipwrecks before I floated ashore at Cyprus. And he says, I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. He says, I spent a night and a day in the open sea, and I've been constantly on the move. He said, I'm never able to settle down. I'm always on the move because I'm trying to help other people. He said, I've been in danger from rivers. I've been in danger from bandits, from my own countrymen, from Gentiles. I've been in dangers in the city, in the country, at sea. I've been in danger from false brothers, people who betrayed me and cheated me. He said, I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger, and I've known thirst, and I've often gone without food. I've been cold, I've been naked, they took my clothes away. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. And tell me again your problem. And you think you got problems? Paul was used in an enormous way because he had enormous pain and he used it for good in God. Now, if we were to bring Paul here on the stage today and say, Paul, why did you put up with all that? Why did you go through all those beatings and all those whippings and allow yourself to be thrown into prison so many times and robbed? And why did you travel by foot all over, you know, the Roman Empire? And why did you put up with shipwrecks and go without food and go without water? And why did you put up with going without sleep and without comfort and without safety? And why did you never give up? And he would say the same thing. I'm using my pain to help others. I want to bring people to Jesus Christ. I'm using my pain to help others. Here's his response, verse 8 and 9. He says, we often suffer, but we're never crushed. And even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we're knocked down, we get up again. Now, you're gonna go through pain in your life. You may as well use it for good. Don't waste your pain. You're going to have pain in your life. Use it to help others. In next verse, verse 15, he says this. Now, all of these sufferings that he's gone through, all of these sufferings of ours are for your benefit. This is called redemptive suffering. It's suffering for the benefit of other people. In life, there are three kinds of suffering. Three kinds of suffering. The first is the kind of suffering that we bring on ourselves. We do this all the time. You know, eat the wrong food, you don't exercise, your body is gonna suffer from it. We bring a lot of problems, a lot of suffering we cause because of our poor decisions, words we say, things we do, responses we make in relationships and bad decisions. And so a lot of suffering we just bring on ourselves from our own poor judgment. That's one kind of suffering. God can even use that, though, to help other people. Second kind of suffering is innocent suffering. Through no fault of yours, you're hurt by somebody else. You may have been molested. You may have been raped. I'm sorry. You may have been abandoned. You may have been rejected. And many people, all of us, have suffered innocently at the hands of other people. You may have been scammed. You may have been ripped off. You may have been cheated on. Somebody was unfaithful to you. And we're all hurt by the sins of other people. And that's innocent suffering. God can use that too for good. But the highest form of suffering is redemptive suffering, where you choose to put up with pain and problems in order to help other people, in order to bless others. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was doing redemptive suffering. He was redeeming the world. He was paying the redemption for your sins. He wasn't dying for his sins. He was dying for your sins. That's redemptive suffering, suffering on the benefit of others. Now, God can use all three of them for good, even the ones you bring on yourself. He can use it all for good if you'll give it to him and say, God, I want you to use my pain to bring benefit to others. He says, all of these sufferings are for your benefit. That's why I put up with all this. And he says, and the more of you who are one to Christ, he said, the more there are to thank him for his great mercy, and the more God gets glory. Now, you know, Kay and I have tried to do this with our lives. We've tried to use our pain to help other people. We're not gonna waste our pain. Many of you know that our marriage was a wreck in the early years. And we could have been in divorce court early on in our marriage. And we did not get along, but we went to got counseling. And then we said, we're gonna use our pain to save other people's marriage. And so we talked openly about our problems and our less than perfect marriage and how God used that to help others. Kay's had cancer twice. I had a father-in-law with cancer, I had a father with cancer, Kay had cancer, had a child who had cancer. And we've used that for good. And you know, even having a son who is mentally ill, who took his life 3 years ago this week, took his life 3 years ago. We said, we're not gonna waste our pain. We're gonna even use that. And all this last week, Kay was on a road trip back on the East Coast, speaking at universities and things on mental health, because we're not gonna waste our pain. We're gonna use it for good and God. And Paul says, I keep going because I know it's helping others and I know it's bringing people to Christ. Now in verse 16 and 17, Paul says this, this is why we never give up, even though it gets tough. He says, though our bodies are dying, and literally in the Greek, that says they're decaying, they're wasting away. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us an immeasurable great glory that will last forever. Now he says, you know, let's just be obvious. Your physique is not getting better. You can't stop the aging process no matter how many Botox things you go to, but you can stay fresh on the inside, spiritually. Paul says, though our bodies are, they're dying, they're wasting away, our spirits are being renewed every day. The Bible tells us that Moses in his old age was just as full of vim and vigor and energy and love and commitment and closeness to the Lord as he was as a young man. You can't keep your body from aging, but you can keep your spirit from aging. He says they're being renewed every day by the mercy of God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. If you'd like to have these powerful Miracle of Mercy lessons on video, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook, then be sure to request the Miracle of Mercy study kit when you contact us. This is a great way to go deeper in your study of God's Word. It's perfect for both personal and small group study time. And it's yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
I'm so grateful that you've joined me for today's Daily Hope message. Many of you listen to this program on our website or on the radio, but I wanted to mention that every day's Daily Hope is also available as a podcast. You can download it for free on iTunes. You just go to the iTunes podcast store and search for Daily Hope with Rick Warren. You can actually set up Daily Hope to be automatically downloaded every day to your smartphone or your tablet or any other device. And once you do that, you'll be able to listen to Daily Hope anytime or any place. Now, isn't that cool? You can listen in your car or while you're exercising or even when you're doing mundane chores around the house. The podcast will allow you to listen to it whenever it's convenient for you. You know, one of our listeners shared this note with me. Pastor Rick, Daily Hope is great for me. I like to listen to it when I'm exercising, so this way I make great use of my time for my soul and my body. I know you're busy, and I want you to make the most of your time. So here's what I want you to do. Get on your smartphone or any other device and start downloading Daily Hope with Rick Warren on iTunes today. And then I want you to write me and let me know how you like it. You can email me rick@pastorrick.com anytime and let me know what's going on in your life. I'd love to hear about it. Thanks for listening and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.